It's time for the
What in the
podcast.
For tonight's episode, since we're so close to Mother's Day, we decided to do a couple stories involving children who encounter their mother's spirits and mothers who encounter the children's spirits. Grandmas, you name it, it's Mother's Day. Welcome to episode 141 of What in the Podcast.
Begin audio transmission.
Welcome to the What in the Podcast with your hosts, Kent Whittington.
And Adriana Comito.
And Tracy Lynn Hernandez.
Hello and welcome to What in the Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hiya.
Hiya. How's everybody doing tonight? As if I didn't know.
Upright and mobile. Brain hurts.
I'm here.
Yeah, I knew that. And I knew that too.
Brain hurts, you know.
Back hurts.
Well, we're old.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
For those of you who
varying
are new to the podcast and never heard of us before or listened to us before, you should know that we're all in various stages of old, as my wife here, Adriana, said.
Most of us are Gen X's
here. Yeah, well, we're all Gen X's.
Yes,
we're all Gen X's.
I am the tail end of Gen X, thank God.
And I have seen some great memes for Gen Xers in the last
lately.
Couple of days.
Oh, yeah, yes. We've seen some good ones.
What was it? The last one I saw was Gen X is the only generation who was in their 30s at the age of 10 and are still in their 30s at the age of 50.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And why the whichamacallit should not mess with us.
Because yes, because we'll stab you in your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Tracy said
and not
that
give
one.
Two you-know-whats
about it. Yeah.
Yeah, to the millennials. Why are we calling out Gen X? No, no. They'll stab you in your sleep. No, no.
Don't say anything. They'll stab you.
Didn't say anything about Gen X. That sort of thing. Yeah, it was great.
Yep, yep, yep.
So anyway, we had actually had an interview scheduled for tonight, but unfortunately the interview had to cancel. We postponed it. That interview will take place sometime in July.
Okey-dokey.
So we'll deal with that when the time comes. But since Mother's Day is approaching, I thought we'd do something for Mother's Day on the program. You know, Mother's Day and paranormal. What are you talking about? Are you nuts? No, I am not. Because we're going to tell stories about children who encounter their mother's ghosts and the opposite, of course, mothers who encounter their children's ghosts.
Which is sad.
Yeah, but it's more,
we're focusing more on the mothers. Kids. I'm sorry. It's sad when that happens.
We're focusing more on the mothers tonight. Maybe even some grandmas here and there. If I remember right, I compiled this very quickly.
Yeah. Very. Say it, but grandmas are still moms.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I included them.
We said maybe even like, but they should be.
I'm
there.
Sure your mother would agree with that.
Yes.
I'm sure you would agree with that.
Yes.
He just has a good bad taste, a bad habit of foot and mouth.
What's I got to do with that? You'd agree with it too if you were a grandmother.
But I'm not a mother or a grandmother. I'm an honorary auntie.
True, but I've been called a mother before, but that's another story.
One of the kids actually told something to one of my friends that almost made me cry. They said, she's more of a mother to me than my own mom. I was like, okay, because it made me sad.
I wish you were my mom.
Yeah, sort of I thing. Want you yeah. to adopt me. They keep saying stuff like that, so. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Well, I figured, like I said, since it's close to Mother's Day, which is this coming Sunday, May 12th,
American Mother's Day.
American Mother's Day, yes. We should say that. American Mother's Day for you listeners across the sea.
Because we're nationwide.
We're north and south of the border.
It's not nationwide. We're worldwide, I should say.
I can't not include Canada and Mexico, so north and south of the border or overseas.
We are the world.
That's good.
We are the children.
We're telling ghosts of Mother's Day, so please sit and listen. Okay, that was bad.
I'm doomed. Yay!
So before we get into it, any housekeeping we need to cover? Anything going on?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
I'm kind of cranky. I was trying to save up money so I can go to the Ghoul Friends weekend in June. Mm-hmm. Right on my birthday.
Right at Elsie's, Bethany's
home sweet home.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But alas, alack, and alorum, being an adult sucks, and having to pay bills and do things is, you know.
That's why your kids spend all the money.
Yeah, but the kids haven't been spending the money.
They don't have the money either.
Not even the baby's been spending the money. It's things like, you know.
Well, that's your house. That's all good. Here, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Can I have this? I want that. Oh, that looks fun. Can I do this?
And we got to feed them, because if we don't feed them, they get crankier, or they shrivel up and die.
They might.
If we don't feed
them. They might eat us in their sleep.
Although I do have to admit that I did have to buy something for the baby. We have a new toy line, or new to us toy line at Evangeline's.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. They're different demons, like the Hopnet and all these other, you know. So I brought home Shimura for her.
Okay.
Yeah, with the go ahead on top of the lion head with the bat wings and the snake tail. And yeah, that first thing she did when she saw that, she grabbed grabby hands and she bit it and almost took off the go ahead's one of the horns. But she's very happy to have her baby demon.
Of course.
Her baby demon is happy to have her baby demon.
Well, I can't complain about that. I mean, Adri just bought me a Gene Simmons Pop-Tito head keychain.
I couldn't pass it up. I was out there running around with my friend Jasmine and her baby, taking her places, and she wanted to get a little pool for her son. So I said, this is this big lot. She was going to walk up there to herself. I said, no, it's too hot right now. I'll take you. It's not a big deal. Like, we were already in the car, and it's not like it's far from her house, mm-hmm. you know? But so, yeah, that was fun. I couldn't pass it up.
You didn't finish the story.
To find the keychain. It was a last second impulse buy.
You're telling stories like the kids. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm turning into the baby.
Yeah, don't do that.
Oops.
Start halfway through and finish three quarters away. Yeah.
And for those who are hearing, I am still coughing and congested.
I've been trying to get
my allergies are really bad this time of year.
I don't think it's something else.
I'm coughing because I know that we just had rain before the heat. So we have mold. Therefore, I'm pecking up a storm. And the dreams are blooming.
Cottonwood.
He's had that weird chest cough for weeks, and I've been trying to get him to go to the doctor, and he won't.
I am stubborn.
Well, if it helps, my mom went in and had her pulmonary specialist look at her and say, well, you're over the pneumonia that you had, but you have scarring in your lungs. When did you smoke? And mom's like, I never smoked. She goes, no, when did you smoke? She says, well, my dad used to smoke when I was little. He used to smoke stogies in the house and in the car. She goes, yeah, you have the lungs of someone who smoked heavily. My mother is almost 78. It's like, yeah, that's
She's
right.
never smoked in day in her life.
Smoked yeah. in her life. My dad used to smoke, but not in the house.
That's kind of scary for me because my parents smoked.
My best friend's mother from
but then,
school.
You know, that was the boomers. Everybody smoked.
Yes. Her mother died of lung cancer, and she had never smoked a day in her life. None of her family smoked. She just ended up with lung cancer. And my friend's always dealing with when they hear her mother died of lung cancer. She gets what she deserved for smoking. She never smoked.
Yeah.
The woman was like a second mother to me, too. I'm so sorry she passed. She was such a wonderful lady.
That's what happens. People assume.
Oh, yeah. I hate it.
You know what they say about
that makes me mad.
They make an ass out of you and Never heard that one
me.
Before?
Me. Assume me.
Anywho. So you never heard of that one, huh?
No. Okay.
Really?
I heard ass out of you and me. Yeah, me. But he said
Oh.
Yeah, an ass Oops. Out of you and Never mind. Anyway, let's get on to the show. Yeah. So, like I said again, we're going to do some stories about mom's ghosts and stuff like that. I compiled a couple stories here tonight. A lot of these come from news clippings and Reddit. So I've tried to include the sources wherever I see them. Would anybody like to do the first one, or shall I start it?
You start it.
You start this time.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and ma'am.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun.
So, stop that.
I didn't do it.
I was telling her. So, this first story is a curious tale of apparent psychokinesis focused on a very young child between 2 and 3 years old. One supposes from clues in the story. All these stories are from like the New York Herald, the Cincinnati Press, and they all take place circa 1890.
Okay.
In these first couple.
This one says New Jersey Herald.
Yeah, like I said, from the Herald or the Cincinnati.
Well, you said New York Herald, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say New Jersey.
Just me being a pain in the butt.
Thank you for catching me. So a rather...
You, he thinks. Me, I would have gotten my head bit off.
You're about to. I was about to start talking about the story here. Love you, too.
Heart you both.
Oh, no, that's an eggplant. There we go. Okay. No, actually, no, that's a two-headed cherry. I don't care. Nobody knows what we're talking about anyway.
You're confusing me.
Yep.
That's not new.
So, supposed visit of a dead mother to her child. This is from Elizabeth, circa the New Jersey Herald. A rather queer story is told and can be vouched for by over a dozen persons in Springfield. It appears about 3 years ago at that time. A young man living in Summit got married. And in due time, his wife gave birth to a child, which was a girl. When the child was about 1 year old, the mother died. About 5 months later, the young widower became lonely and took unto himself another wife.
She's normal.
You can definitely tell from the syntax. This is old print. Mm-hmm. But before doing so, he took all of his first wife's clothing, packed it in a trunk, and locked it up, and allowed no one to have charge of the key but himself. Among the clothing put away was her wedding shawl and a pillow his wife had made for her firstborn, and also some toys she had bought just before she died. Then he brought home wife number two, who it is said made as good a mother as the average stepmothers do. Yeah. Things went on lively till one night last week when there was a party at the next neighbor's house. So after putting the babe in its little bed, the father and mother number two went over to spend the evening at the party. Shortly after they left, two men came along on their way to the party also. They saw a wonderful light in the house as though it might be on fire.
That's a wonderful light.
According to this, yeah.
That it might be on fire. That's not a wonderful light.
No, no. Words change. This is from the 1800s. Yes. Wonderful wouldn't be like, oh, that's wonderful. It'd be like, it's wonderful. It's full of wonder. Where the heck is that light coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah, the original use of the word.
Yep.
I know. I'm just thinking about current stuff.
It's like saying awestruck, struck with awe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so they were filled with wonder at the light and thought the house might be on fire. So they also heard the cries of the babe as though in great pain. They went to the house, and as soon as they reached the door, the light went out, and all was silent as the grave within. They hastened onto the house where the party was and told the man that they had seen and heard in his house as they came by. Five or six men, including the owner of the house, started to investigate the report. When they arrived, they found every room and door fast as they were when the owner left or locked up.
Yeah.
On going inside, everything was found to be in its place except the child, which after a long search was found upstairs under the bed on which its mother died. Covered up with its mother's wedding shawl and its little head resting on the pillow, its mother made for it, sound asleep. Alongside of it lay its playthings. On examining the trunk, it was found to be locked and nothing missing except the above-mentioned articles. Now, how the things got out of the trunk and the key in the owner's pocket, and he half a mile from it, and how the child got upstairs is a mystery. The above may sound a little dime novelish, but as we said before, the facts of the case can be and are vouched for by over a dozen respectable citizens of Springfield.
That's kind of cool.
Yep.
That means mom's like, okay, you're going to go over there and play. I'll watch
my child since you guys can't seem to be bothered to do it.
What do most moms do? Yeah, you go play. I'll watch her. Here's the toys you took away.
Give me my shawl. Anyway, who'd like to do the next one?
I can do the next one.
Okay, go ahead.
A dead mother visits her living child. She sits at its cradle and caresses it. This is from Correspondence Cincinnati Commercial, Richmond, Virginia, January 23. I'm not sure if that's January 23rd.
January 23rd, 1891, okay. I think, is when this one was. Okay.
A strange story is current in certain circles here. About 2 years ago, Mr. A married. In due time, he became a father, but his wife died when the child was a few months old.
I love how when they're talking about these stories, they use either the first initial or they don't even mention the name. There's just so much, such a thing like anonymity and making it ambiguous. I think that's kind of cool, actually, because nobody really does that anymore.
True. Well, now it's you, everyone has to have their,
have to have the facts, have to have the names. Yes, yeah. Everybody's got to know who did what or what's going on with who. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So, in due time, he became a father and his wife died when the child was a few months old. On her deathbed, she exhibited an intense anxiety as to the fate of the little one as she was about to leave her. and earnestly besought her husband to confide it, after her death, to the care of one of her relatives. He promised, and I believe, did for a while let the child stay in charge of the person whom the mother had designated. Some weeks ago, however, Mr. A again married, and at once reclaimed the child, who has yet never learned to speak a word, and was unable to crawl. One day this child was left alone for a few moments in its stepmother's bedroom, lying in a crib or cradle some distance from the bed. When Mrs. A returned, she was amazed to see the child smiling and crowding upon the middle of the bed. In her astonishment, she involuntarily asks, "Who put you there, baby?" "Mama," responded the babe quite distinctly, the child that had never before spoken a word. On a strict inquiry throughout the household, it was found that none of the family had been in the room during Mrs. A's brief absence from it. This is solemnly averred, but the beginning of the series of spiritual visitations from the dead mother. Whenever the child was left alone, it could be heard to laugh or crow as if delighted by the fondlings and endearments of someone. And on these occasions, it was frequently found to have changed in its dress, position, etc., in a matter quite beyond its own unaided capacity. Finally, as the account is, the first Mrs. A appeared one night, at the bedside of Mr. A and his second wife, and earnestly entreated that her darling should be restored to the relative whom she had indicated as the guardian of the child on her deathbed. The apparition, which it declared was distinctly seen and heard by both Mr. A and his wife, promised to haunt them no more if her wish was complied. Both Mr. A and his wife were too much awestricken to reply. But the next day the child was carried back as directed by the ghostly visitant. Such is the story as seriously avouched by the principal parties concerned, who were most respectable and intelligent people and no spiritualists. That's a claw.
Sorry, folks. That was a cat attacking my wife.
No, just a clumsy, stupid
cat. She is clumsy, yes.
I love her, but she's clumsy and stupid sometimes.
So would you like to do the next one, dear?
Sure. Excuse me. New Philadelphia, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Democrat, 10 February 1871, Part 2. What's P2?
Page 2.
Page 2. Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
It's practically obligatory for the ghostly mother in this genre of story to assert her dominance over her successor or make sure that her children are being properly treated. Even with some advances in obstetrics, women knew that death was a possibility with every pregnancy, and anxiety over what would become of their motherless children is a constant theme in deathbed narratives. Martha Jefferson, for example, fearing the proverbial cruelty of a stepmother, perhaps from personal experience, her father had married twice after the death of her mother, begged Thomas Jefferson not to marry again. Hold on one second.
I think there's a little more to that.
I know. No.
That's it.
It
stops right there. It goes on to the next.
Well, I wonder if that had anything to do with the first one in any way. Anyway, go ahead to read the next one here.
That's fine. I'm just...
We're a little thrown. Sorry, folks.
Yay, chaos.
Yay, Kit.
Hey, chaos. I compiled all this in an hour.
I know.
Give me a little
credit. That was a drop-off story. It looks like there's supposed to be more.
No, that's all there was.
Oh, that's sad. A Jealous Ghost, 1894. Driven from home by a spirit, the ghost of a first wife returns to haunt her successor. The locality in which this motherly ghost appears is what is known as Baltimore. Number 2, a settlement of Irish and Welsh miners who work in the Baltimore vein, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. The houses are red company structures, and in one of them lives Cornelius Boyle, a young man who is quite prominent in politics, having often been chosen as delegate from his ward to Democratic conventions. Mr. Boyle's wife died about 2 months ago, leaving 4 small children. 2 weeks ago, he married again, Mrs. Boyle, number 2. Spent a very happy week with her husband while on their wedding tour, but since their return, she has led a most unhappy existence. She has been haunted, she says, by the first Mrs. Boyle, who during the last week visited her almost every day. After these visits, Mrs. Boyle has remained unconscious for several hours. I went to the place today and found Mrs. Boyle in the house of a neighbor the visit she received from the spirit of the first Mrs. Boyle last Saturday having caused such a serious shock to her nerves that she says she will never enter the house again. Her husband, an intelligent young man, 28 years old, was with her and two children were playing about the room. She is a young wife. Mrs. Boyle is very young for a wife, being hardly 17 years old. She is a pretty girl. She was Miss Sarah Cullings before she was married 2 weeks ago and lived in Ashley near here. She met her husband last St. Patrick's Day, and not quite a month afterward, they were married in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, by Reverend Father Burke. The week following, they spent in New York and week arrived at at Boyle's home in Baltimore number 2. I was washing some clothes in the kitchen Monday afternoon when I experienced a most singular feeling, as though somebody were in the room with me. I looked around but could see nobody. Then I went into the parlor, but no one was there. When I returned to the kitchen, all the chairs and tables were upset and my washing spilled on the floor. I set them right again. Immediately they were thrown down. At that instant, there swept by me a figure of no particular shape except the head, and that I saw distinctly. The face was a woman's and had such a peculiar look about it that I cannot forget it. It was gone in an instant and I fainted. The children called in the neighbors, and after some time I was revived. When my husband returned home, I told him the story. He called it a joke and said I had imagined it all. I tried to think no more about it. The next day, continued Mrs. Boyle, I was alone in the kitchen making some bread when I again felt the dreadful sensation of the peculiar presence. It gradually grew in shape until the head was fully visible. Then I could see the face. It was the same as the day previous. Then it gradually faded away, and again I fainted from fright. Fearing to be alone the next day, I sent for my sister. That night I again told my husband about the ghostly visitor. My nerves were unstrung, and I was very much excited. Mr. Boyle got some books to quiet me, and we began looking them over. Among the books was a photograph album. He was turning over the leaves and explaining who the persons were. Finally, he turned to a page, and there before me was the face of the ghost I had seen. So suddenly was the face presented before me that I shrieked in horror. My husband sprang to his feet and asked me what was the matter. All I could do was point to the album, which had fallen to the floor, and say, that face, what about it? Cried my husband. It was the same as the ghosts I saw. He was very much horrified at this and exclaimed, it is the face of my first wife.
No.
It is the fact of my first wife.
Probably supposed to, should be face.
Probably face, you're right.
Then he believed what I had said regarding the apparition, for he knew I had never seen her nor any photograph of her until he showed me the one in the album.
Yeah, probably face.
I think it's supposed to be face.
It's a news article. What do you expect?
Typos everywhere. On Thursday, my sister and I were in the kitchen cutting carpet rags among the old clothing as a jacket of James's.
Among the old clothing was a jacket of James's.
Who is my husband's oldest boy. I took it out of the bag to give it to Annie, my sister. I leaned over to hand it to her, and as I did, it was pulled from my hand and thrown on the floor. At the same instant, I felt the presence of the ghost, and although I could see nothing, my sister then picked the jacket from the floor. As she did so, the jacket was torn from her hands, and the ghost stood before us, the eyes glazing as though in anger. My sister shrieked with a terror and fell into my arms. I managed to retain consciousness, and the apparition vanished. Both Annie and then I went outside and would not go in until my husband returned home. Then Annie went out to Ashley. She was afraid to stay with me. The next day was Friday, and my husband remained at home all day. In the evening, he went down to the store, and I began undressing James C., who is older than the others and had been allowed to stay up. He was very naughty, and I had to scold him. Then I put him to bed and returned to the sitting room. As I entered the room, the ghost stood before me. I was becoming less afraid of it, and although greatly frightened, I managed to say, "What do you want?" The ghost pointed one of its hands at me, and although I could not see the mouth move, it spoke and said, "Treat my children well," 3 times and very slowly. When my husband returned a few minutes later, I was in a fainting fit. We agreed to leave the house as soon as we could find another. I did not want to stay another day, but my husband persuaded me to stay in order to pack up some of the goods. Yesterday afternoon, Jamesy was a naughty boy again. I caught his arm and began to shake him, and immediately the ghost appeared. It seemed to come from behind the kitchen stove. One hand caught the boy and pulled him from me, while the other hand struck me on the head. It was all over in a few seconds, and as the ghost disappeared, I snatched up the boy and ran out of the house and went to Mrs. McLaughlin's across the street. "You look ill, Mrs. Boyle," she said. "What is the matter? Why, your head is all covered with ashes." I put my hand in my head, and there was ashes there. They must have come from the ghost's hands. The boy, James, he was then called. He is a bright little fellow, about 5 years of age. He was asked what had happened yesterday afternoon. Me was a bad boy, he said. She shake me, pointing to Mrs. Boyle. Then my mama, not my new mama, my old one, came out from behind the stove and pulled me away. I haven't seen my mama for a long time. Mrs. Boyle said she did not believe in ghosts, but Mr. Boyle said he did not believe in ghosts, but he believes what his wife says and will not allow her to go into the house again. Cincinnati, Ohio, Inquirer 3, May 1894, page 10. Things quickly took a more sinister turn.
Mm-hmm.
Baby burned by a ghost. Mrs. Boyle declares that the jealous spirit is that of her husband's first wife. This is something else. Oh, this is the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's more of the
four incendiary visitations. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, May 11, 1894. Mrs. Cornelius Boyle, wife of well-known young miner of this city, was visited about 2 weeks ago by a supernatural being whom she said was Boyle's first wife. Excuse me. As told to the Herald at the time, Mrs. Boyle, the second wife, was married about 2 months after the first wife's death, and the ghost, according to her, had appeared to warn her to take good care of her four children. The appearance of the ghost so affected Mrs. Boyle that her husband took another house. In this new place, they lived happily together until Tuesday, when Mrs. Boyle had another visit from the ghost. This time, she said, it threatened her with a horrible torture if the children were not properly cared for. Matters reached a climax yesterday morning when a bed on the second floor was found to be on fire. An alarm was run, the fire department responded, and the flames were extinguished, but scarcely had the firemen left when the same bed was again discovered on fire. The firemen returned and extinguished the blaze a second time. Later in the day, the house was found to be on fire again, and the fire department was called out a third time. Blame it all on the ghost. An oil can and some kerosene were found on the floor and bed clothing when the firemen arrived. Mrs. Boyle put the blame on the ghost and said she could not give no explanation as to the origin of the fire. The house was found to be again on fire this morning. When the firemen reached the house, it was found locked and full of smoke. The blaze was located in a bed on the second floor. Sam Bartleson, foreman of number 8 house company, upon smashing a window and entering the house, found a little child lying unconscious in the blazing bed. The child was Johnny Boyle, the 4-year-old son of Boyle by his first wife. Again, it was the ghost. The little fellow was carried across the street to the house of Thomas Manley. His burns were dressed, and he is expected to recover. The flames were soon extinguished. Why would the mother hurt the child? See, that's the thing.
I think it's that she's ticked off about the wrong house. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Mrs. Boyle was out when the blaze was discovered, but was found in one of the neighbor's houses. She blamed this fire also on the ghost, who she says is jealous of her and wants to drive her from the children and the husband, Mrs. Boyle is under police surveillance, and the house is watched. She's come for me, a mother's spirit.
This is another story.
Oh, okay.
So we can stop there.
Okay, I wasn't trying to. I was just like,
no, it's okay. You need to take a breath.
The
it's
other
right,
one
see?
Seems to think, I kept thinking it was ending, and there was the way it was cutting off, and I'm like, okay.
Just the way it was written at the time. Mm-hmm. You remember that was, what, 1871?
Yeah, it's a run-on, and there are a lot of typos. There were several things that looked like they should not have been that were.
Well, if they went literally, it might be some of the reason why.
And it's not necessarily
the lettering was different.
Typos. Back then too. We literally have evolved our language.
Yeah,
I know, but some of
some of the letters have evolved too.
They were talking about the blaze, and it said something instead. It wasn't a blaze; it was something else. I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
All I can say is, don't you hate it as a new mother and a new family when the ex keeps showing up and messing with you? I don't know. Am I the only one?
I haven't had that problem yet.
No.
Leave the cord alone. Sorry.
Dog or cat?
Meow. Yes.
The processing of commercial information is complete. Back to the show.
Okay.
Yes.
So
could be fine. Any of them.
Okay. So the next one is She's Come For Me, A Mother's Spirit, 1891. this it says Mother Spirit. It's illegible, Massachusetts, from the Globe Democrat. The following story is vouched for by 10 or 12 of the most respectable citizens of the place. Harvey Sampson, the 15-year-old son of R.B. Sampson, prominent in commercial circles, died of lingering consumption at his father's residence in the suburbs on last Tuesday night. He was fully conscious up to the time he drew his last breath, and several times on the day before he died expressed his fear of death, always adding that this arose from no dread of the hereafter, but from a purely physical shrinkage from the unknown, and that if he could only have had his mother with him, he would lose all such fear. Mrs. Sampson, to whom Harvey had been devoted and enjoyed an even unusual degree of companionship with, has been dead for over 2 years. On Tuesday morning, he said to his aunt, Mrs. Josephine Burwell, that he had prayed that his mother might be allowed to come for him and guide him into the spirit land, and that he believed she would come. That evening, about the twilight hour and a short time before the end, the dying boy sprang up in bed with a glad cry turned toward the door, which had just blown open, and with outstretched arms appeared the next moment to clasp someone ardently to his breast. Dr. Osborne, who was attending him and who was alone with him at the moment, inquired of him what it was. "It's my mother," the boy replied, with a tender smile, and the chair close beside his bed. "She's come for me." The doctor then advanced and felt the lad's pulse, so he'd find him perfectly free from fever and wholly unexcited, but sinking fast. He called the family and came to bid Harvey a goodbye. The boy then requested them to take away the light, except the small night lamp burning on a table nearby, as he said the glare kept him from seeing his mother plainly. When this wish was carried out, the afflicted family, doctors Osborne and Cunningham, with the nurse and a friend or two, declared that they saw sitting beside Harvey, holding his hand and smiling on him, a woman clad in snowy garments, and in whom they had no difficulty in recognizing Mrs. Sampson, who had been personally and well known to each and all of them. She remained distinctly visible for 2 hours and more when she suddenly vanished, and on approaching the bed, they found the boy was dead. That's a true story. That's pretty wild.
There's a woman I see on Reels regularly. She's a hospice nurse.
I think I know what you're talking about.
A regular thing is you see your loved one, and that's, you know, this person's going to be here for a while. I know you see your mother, or you see your sister, or you see your daughter. Mm. Okay. Get the family. This is it. Yeah.
Now, of course, the experts say it's just the brain recycling all the memories and playing tricks on the dead.
I don't believe that for a second.
No, I disagree with that.
I don't believe that for a second, because it's never people that are still alive. It's always people that have passed that you see. Mm-hmm. And if it was just your memories, you'd see everybody.
This is true.
That would be my theory. You'd see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my nose itches. Sorry.
So the next one up is Mom, Please Let Me Go by Lady Glow.
Which one are we on?
Oh, hold on. There was a little bit more of the last story. Let me finish this real quick.
You're in trouble.
Mrs. Daffodil's Aid Memoir. While it is not unusual for the dying to see visions of loved ones gone before, returning to fetch them away, this story is rare in that the mother's apparition seems to have been visible to a whole host of witnesses.
Cool.
In some cultures, such pre-death bed apparitions are called, appropriately, fetches.
That I actually knew.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. Now you can go to the next story.
No, I was like, there's this little blurb we didn't read yet.
All I can say is our listeners must think we're nuts.
I pulled it down so I can get to them.
Oh, no. Sorry. I'm sorry.
So, Mom, Please Let Me Go. This is, I guess, published or added to the collection January 21st, 2024 from Mexico. This is not personal experience, but one I heard many times like a child and still hear occasionally during family reunions. From my maternal grandmother, Yuli, many years ago. The proper time after getting married, my grandma gave birth to a little girl who happened to be an only child for almost 5 years. Unfortunately, she passed away after a short illness. Although both my grandparents grieved deeply the loss of their child, Billy took it harder and would go to daily cemetery and kneel by her daughter's grave, crying and talking to her as if she was still alive. She would ask the little girl, ask her if she was cold or if she felt lonely, would cry for several hours, and go home just to come back the following day and do the same routine. This was Grandma's life for several weeks until one day when she saw, from the corner of her eye, a little girl wearing a white dress walking towards her direction. She didn't pay attention to the child, thinking that she just must have wandered away from the family visiting the cemetery, besides being so centered in her own grief. But when the girl said something, made her turn her head only to see that she was nowhere to be seen. The words were, "Mama."
Would you like me to do it?
Yes, please.
Okay. The words were, "Mama, no puedo irme mientras estés llorando. Por favor, déjame ir." Or, "Mom, I won't be able to leave if you keep on crying. Please let me go."
It sounds like a Jewish thing, just saying. After hearing these words, and even though she didn't see the child's face,
She was standing Shivas.
Shivas.
I don't know the proper pronunciation. I'm doing my best, folks. Sorry.
Shiva.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's very Jewish.
But that's how.
But it's also very, very Catholic Spanish too.
My Yiddish isn't that great.
Well, it was the point where, you know, "Please don't cry for me. I can't leave."
Mm-hmm. I'm just for the dead. Anyway.
Yeah. Anywho. After hearing these words, though, and even though she couldn't see the child's face, she came to the realization that the girl was her lost daughter, telling her that her sorrow was holding her back and decided it was time to move on. She understood that even if the pain of losing her child would never stop, she couldn't spend the rest of her life at the cemetery. She walked away and would visit her daughter's grave only on special occasions. Later in life, my grandma gave birth to 9 more children, and out of them, only 5 reached adulthood. I know Beulie grieved the loss of all of her children during her life, but the words of the girl at the cemetery helped her to believe that death was not the end and gave her hope that they had gone to a better place.
It's a nice little story. Mm-hmm. Mom, don't stop grieving for me. I can't leave if you're still grieving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Don't come and cry because it's keeping me here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense, because just because somebody's gone doesn't mean they don't feel what we feel, that we don't, you know, telegraph it mm-hmm. out into the universe. When you're hurting that bad.
And feeling that grief is just kind of.
Your heart hurts and it emanates
fettering
from you.
Fettering the spirit to
yes.
the physical world.
So it makes it fetish.
Mm-hmm.
Fetches. What?
Game speak from.
Yes, from way back when.
Too many years ago. Almost 30 years ago. Anyhow.
Oh, yeah, now I feel old.
Too much World of Darkness.
And you let me play the ghost. I mean, yes.
I did, didn't I? You're right. I forgot about that. Anyway, would you like to do the next one?
Sure. Here?
Okay.
No, I'm just like feeling so old because I used to play at Danza College. I used to LARP at Danza College when I was in the Bay Area. That's how I first got started in high school.
Well, for you locals, we used to do it at the Death Star.
In Davis,
those of you who know what the Death Star is.
This game I'm thinking of was at your apartment.
That's true.
Oh, tabletop?
And no, it was a LARP. And my fetish was a frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That was what I was tethered to the earth with. And I beat one person in particular, but that's okay.
You had it coming.
But we've gotten bigger now. Anywho.
Everybody.
Yes, please tell the tale there.
Okay. The Haunted Tale of Maurice Bejir. Is that right?
Bejir, something like that.
Something like Bejir?
Bejiri? Look for the
bears. October 25th, 2016. Candy and costumes are top of the mind this time of year, but Halloween means one more thing. Ghost stories. As we ponder what to wear while snacking on candy corn, we can't help but think of one of our most haunted happenings at Hotel Monteleone. Mm-hmm. Turn down the lights and read by the glow of your screen. This is the story of Maurice Bergere, a child who tragically died in our hotel and who still haunts it to this day. During the late 1800s, the wealthy Bergere family stayed at the Hotel Monteleone. Often, Jacques and his wife Josephine loved attending the French Opera House on Bourbon Street, but the lengthy operas were no place for their young son, Maurice. Entrusted in a nanny's care, Maurice, who was just a toddler at the time, developed a fever one evening while his parents were at the opera. Although he received care, it was not enough. Maurice had a convulsion and died in his room. The grief his parents felt upon their return is hard to comprehend. Josephine Bejere could not bear to leave her son behind. She and Jacques returned to the hotel year in and year out in hopes that the spirit of Maurice might visit them. Eventually, he did. On the 14th floor, which is Really, the 13th floor, Maurice appeared to his mother near the room where he died. In a striped shirt typical for children of that era, Maurice told his mother, "Mommy, don't cry. I'm fine." The encounter left Josephine in tears, overjoyed at having a loving moment with her young departed son. Maurice's parents weren't the only ones who saw the boy. To this day, guests report seeing the ghost of a friendly toddler on the 14th floor, the same floor the International Society for Paranormal Research determined to be a hotbed of paranormal activity. Phyllis Paulson, a regular guest at the hotel, provided details of her own encounter with Maurice Bagheera. "I was just relaxing in bed one morning when I looked up to see a young boy about 3 years old walk by the foot of my bed. My husband had just left for a meeting, so I thought he may not have closed the door all the way. I immediately got up to see if the door was open and to check if a parent may have followed him into the room. It didn't take me long to realize that I had seen a ghost." In 2003, the International Society of Paranormal Research investigated the haunting of Hotel Monteleone. They claimed to have made contact with more than a dozen earthbound entities. Many of our guests request a room on the 14th floor, as that is said to be the most haunted of any floor of the Hotel Monteleone.
So see, like I said, I got a couple stories about kids seeing their mother spirits and some mothers seeing their kid spirits. Mm-hmm. I have to wonder about this story and the fact that the parents kept coming back every year to try and make contact with their little boy. Again, tethering, mm-hmm. perhaps. Because eventually he did show up. I don't know.
In the back of my brain, I'm hearing a song from Noggin years ago that you two would be singing, "I Don't Like Candy Corn." Me and Jim, I'm like, "I like candy corn."
Actually, no. I like the apple cider or candy apple candy corn. That is the only one I like, and I can only eat a little bit of it.
I will say I like candy corn on the first bite.
And then afterwards,
second bite, not so much.
Yeah.
Third bite, forget it. If I take a whole one, put it in my mouth, it's done for
the
day.
Well, then I should have bought that for you. They had Easter candy corn. I should have bought it for you today.
I think I have plenty of candy.
I saw that candy corn. My first thought was, who buys candy corn at Easter?
Anyone who wants to have candy corn.
You can have.
I've been keeping Tracy in candy. It's great when you can find it for a quarter.
Okay, now we've got a few. Now we're going to find a few Reddit stories here that I found. This first one is by Chef Lisa O. It's, "My mother's ghost told me she was murdered." Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun.
That's enough, Belt.
I want to watch that movie again. I loved Belt. It's all about the Belt. Tracy's laughing at me, but it's all about Belt.
Our train of thought is derailing again.
New Haunted Mansion, so that's just me.
I like the new one. The new one's great.
We loved that. We were just so enamored of that one.
So anyway, Chef Lisa O says, "My mother was killed when I was a teenager, and for months after she died, I would see her behind me in the mirror trying to say something. I could never make out what she was trying to say. This went on for a year, and it almost caused me to have a nervous breakdown. I would see her in my dreams, also trying to say something. One day I saw her behind me, and instead of freaking out, I stood there and just stared deep into her eyes. She told me she'd been murdered. She was hit by two cars running down the road at 3 a.m. The night before, we heard a conversation upstairs between a woman and a man, but no one was up there. She wanted me to know what happened to her and that she was chased out of the house by the thing that was haunting our house. After that encounter, I didn't see her anymore." Well, that's nice. Mom comes back to say, "I was murdered, and there's still others haunting the house besides me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. How about you, Tracy? What's next?
So my mom has been haunting me for 6 months, starting 1 hour after she died. I aborted Braden. That's an interesting name.
Yeah.
Ew.
My mom died 6 months ago. She had not been doing well since my dad died the year before. She's always had emotional issues and has always made me her favorite child. She relied on me for most of everything. I think I was her savior. I may have been a good kid who followed all the rules while I was a kid until my dad died, but things changed. Once my dad died, my mom started having so many health issues and was nearly brain dead from a hard fall, which required life-saving surgery. She recovered but was never fully herself again. After several months and a couple different living arrangements, she decided to move out near me. I became her only person in the area. This is during COVID, so any contact with anyone you wanted was limited. It was a lonely time for her, and I felt like she was going downhill. After a month hospital stay and nursing home care, she was released to assisted living, then died 1 week later in hospice. This wasn't expected. I thought she would have another year. She went downhill so quickly the doctors ordered hospice. The day she died, mm-hmm. I was in traffic with my daughter. I was notified via text that she had passed away. When I got home, I was texting my siblings, and I heard my name in her voice on, this is garbled English.
This is from Reddit, like I said. So.
Yeah.
There are lots of typos on Reddit.
In my left ear, it was a frantic voice that said, "What's happening?" That she would get all the time. I became familiar with a variety of tones. I knew her mood or need based on how she said my name. I told my siblings what happened, and my brother said they had just removed her body. As months passed, I have experienced the following. Two black masses circling around my head. They're the size of gold balls. How are they black masses? Probably golf balls?
Probably.
I'm trying to fill in the gaps. I apologize.
I'm assuming they mean golf balls here. Gold balls can be any size, so it must be golf balls.
And autocorrect is a wonderful creator.
And does not exist on Reddit.
Yes. The large picture on my wall being pulled away from the wall and sliding down over and over again. I woke up to seeing this in front of me and freaking out. My head skipped a beat. And then the door handle of my car door, while I'm in my car getting ready to pull out of my space, pulling the door handle like she did many times when I would take her places, like an eager toddler. This is a little figurine getting knocked off the windowsills all the time. I have a few different ones, but the only one that says boo appears to be the one that gets knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
I still have her ashes and my dad's in the room with me. I'm planning to scatter these this summer. Why is mom haunting me? I feel like she's always over my shoulder. I feel like maybe she moved on a little more. She'd be still hanging around. I did tell her before she died that she tried to reach out for me from the beyond, but I think I'm ready for her to fully move on. Sage hasn't worked. I have tried that a couple times. What can I do to move on and release her from this world? I don't hate her. I'm not even scared anymore. I just don't want her to think she needs to watch out for me and rely on me anymore. To me, she's proven that there is an afterlife, but I want her to go live that with my dad or whatever she needs to do. I don't know what to do right now with all my experiences. Well, she's not going to get staged out.
No, that's mom.
That's mom.
Mom's not an evil spirit. She's not a negative entity of any sort. So, Sage isn't going to work. Now, a lot of things she's doing seems to be negative, but even from what if I'm understanding this right, this is a lot of the stuff she's encountering is stuff that mom did in life anyway.
Yes.
So I don't think she's trying to be malicious.
Braden's usually a boy's name.
Usually.
Okay. Doesn't really specify, but you know.
But I get a masculine feel to the story. I don't know.
But anyway, if this is what mom did in life, it's just her repeating mm-hmm. what she did, then.
Mm-hmm. And if her last year was spent with, severe head trauma, she's going to loop on what she last did.
Mm-hmm.
She might be corrected, but it really depends on.
And if she has if she was of an advanced age, she might have some other issues too.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the need for hospice care.
So quickly, my turn.
Go for it. This one I thought was kind of fun. I don't know.
The title's cute.
Yeah, the title.
My mom's ghost is haunting my electronics. Organic Towel 1363.
That's the guy.
That's a weird name. Okay,
I can already tell you with this title alone, I'll probably be doing that to my kids. Just saying.
With haunting them?
Haunting their electronics. Because I'm mean and terrible.
He said you'll be fixing all the problems.
In theory.
Maybe she'll try to fix the problem and it won't work. Because she's got technical.
Because it's me, yeah.
I'd like to start this story by prefacing that my mom passed away 6 months ago today. It was sudden, slightly unexpected, and happened only 2 weeks after my daughter was born. She was deeply paranoid about technology and was a lifetime, pack-a-day smoker. That wasn't why I was laughing. It was the paranoid about electronic technology thing. Sorry.
which is left, lifetime pack a day smoker, and this will be important later. So
okay, well, the smoking thing wasn't what I was laughing at. I was giggling about the technology issue.
I get it.
The technology phobia. The haunting started shortly after her drawn-out wake and burial. Little things like the ladle flying out of the pancake bowl every time my son and I made pancakes. Easily brushed off, but we still just assumed she was saying hello. Fast forward to a week or so later, aside from the baby, the dog, and the cat, I'm home alone. I greet my husband and son at the door, and we all take the baby into her room. As I get ready to lay her down on the changing table, I notice a long piece of what appeared to be the type of dust that falls off the ceiling fan. As I lean in to brush it off, I notice it's cigarette ash that looks like it's been freshly flicked off a cigarette. She was notorious for not flicking it until it was outlandishly long.
I know the type.
Yep, not me. Surprisingly, and I don't smoke anymore, but that wasn't me at the time. Surprisingly, the thing that weirded us all out the most was the fact that the changing table sits where my mom's old bed was when my parents first moved into this house. We joke often that on another timeline, she's still alive, sitting in her bed smoking a cigarette. However, starting in the middle of the night last night and running into today, my Alexa and my Google Home keep randomly saying, the light is off. When I first heard it, I thought maybe my son or husband were silencing an alarm and she just misheard them. Today, it's just the sleeping baby and I in a completely silent kitchen, and it's still randomly happening. I checked the activity on both devices, nothing. I attached pics for reference, but I really just wanted to tell y'all because I know I enjoy these stories, especially when I'm missing my mom. She was a huge paranormal fan, and my sisters and I have always said if she were to try to communicate, it would be through pranks and electronics.
You know, if mom ever figures out how to work Alexa and Google, she's going to get messages like, "Mom loves you." Or, "Would you like to hear a joke about mom?" Or, "Would you like to hear a song about mother?" Playing Mother's Day. Something like that.
I can see you doing that.
If they actually put Alexa or Google in the house, it'd be one of those, "Did you really?"
Goes to the machine. Clean your room.
You'll hear, "You put it there. Deal with it."
Yeah, that'll be about the time Alexa has your own voice, too, that you can put on it. And then you will be the ghost in the machine, literally.
The machine will be like, "Oof." Yeah. Oof.
So, Illustrious Belt 335, dun dun dun, is my mother's spirit with me. My mother passed away in December due to cancer. I'm her only child and also a 22-year-old guy, which I believe is important. My mother and I were also very close, and one of her biggest fears in her final days was leaving me behind to go through life without her. After my mom passed, we had her cremated. We had the ashes split into thirds. A third for my personal urn for her, a third for us to bury next to my grandfather, and the rest to split between other family members who have urns. There's a little bit of mom for you, a little bit of mom for you.
Well, Cindy,
I have Pearl.
My niece has a part of her grandfather in a treble cleft necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
people do it.
It's common.
I also purchased the house after my mother's passing, and as far as I know, there's been no activity ever at this house. But I also moved my mom's ashes here as soon as I closed on the house, and for the most part, never really noticing anything. But after being here a few months, I've started to notice a few things. There was a lot of arguing and tension within my family during my mom's final days. Although she was in a coma-like state, I know she would have been very irritated at how the family reacted and me being the primary target for everyone. To set the scene for everyone, at the time of my mom's death, I was staying at my grandparents', which was also where my mom eventually came home on hospice and later died in the house. Up until my mom's death, I had never had issues sleeping. Immediately following my mom's death, I couldn't sleep or at least not for very long. But as tensions died down between the family, I started sleeping fine again. Now, I do realize that this could have been due to stress upon myself, but now that I'm in a new house and have been for 5 months, it's starting to become a problem again. I can't sleep, and I also wake up randomly. I also get this eerie feeling that I'm being watched sometimes. But I don't live alone in the house, as my girlfriend lives with me too. There's been several times during the day when I'm gone that my girlfriend says she hears weird noises. I've heard them myself, but it honestly sounds like squirrels or something running across the roof or in the attic. But I've also noticed behavior changes from my cat. The cat belonged to my mom before she passed, although I took care of the cat and kept the cat with me while I stayed at my grandparents'. My mom loved her cat, and the cat definitely loved her too. I've noticed my cat spends a lot of time in the basement or in my bedroom, but never in her cat tree, which just so happens to be in the living room near my mom's urn. I've often caught the cat stalking something that isn't there. She also seems more chatty and affectionate than she has been, almost like she is being possessed or influenced by something else. I unfortunately don't have any hard evidence proving that my mother may or may not be attached to me or haunting me. I don't really like saying haunting in this case because if something is happening, it doesn't seem malevolent or evil. Do you think my mom's spirit is following me? Or maybe even taking the form of my cat to interact with me in the afterlife? I feel like if she's following me, she isn't necessarily trying to communicate, but rather watch over me. What do you guys think? And what ways can I possibly try reaching out to her if she's with me?
Sit down and talk with her.
Or talk to the cat. I don't know.
Well, if you're the cat's in the room, sit and have a conversation with your mom. Mm-hmm. Just because she's not here doesn't mean she can't hear it.
That's true.
If you think your mom's with you, talk to her. Exactly. That would be my advice to somebody like that.
And that's long story short is they don't function on our timeline. They function, you know, floating as we've seen. And
that was it Karen Russo? You and Karen Russo?
You're talking about the psychic?
Yeah, the one we like on the Haunting of. I can't remember her name. Russo. I know her last name is Russo, but I absolutely love listening to her because she talks about how she can talk to them on their Kim Russo, how she can talk to them on their wavelength and communicate to us in our, because it's two different wavelengths she was talking about the other day.
And at least when she does, she's Carney not Wilson. Saying I get a name.
Or just, Sally Struthers.
She's talking about complete senses and stories these ghosts are telling, which I think is kind of cool.
Oh yeah, you know, sit down and tell your mother, hey, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But really?
We're okay.
We're all okay. I love you.
Yep, you can move on. Of course, the weird part is maybe it's just a third of her. That might be what's irritating her.
What?
I said maybe it's just a third of her.
You know, that could be. They do say that you're not supposed to separate. Well, in the Orthodox Jewish faith, they're not supposed to take no tattoos. And any body part that leaves your body for surgery reasons or whatever has to be buried with you.
Mm-hmm.
In the Orthodox Jewish faith, it has to, like, if you have an appendicitis and they take your appendix out, you have the right to request it back because of your faith.
Well, I didn't want the tumor, so it's all good.
Yeah. I'm glad you don't have those tumors anymore. No. Knock on wood.
Long gone. Hopefully never come back.
You still need to go get checked again recently.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that's pretty much it.
Our short podcast, but at least.
Go ahead.
At least we did something. We're trying not to be as bad as we have been about forgetting to do it. So.
So like we said, that's going to be it for tonight, folks. I did want to say before I go, and we can all say this too. Mom, happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Mine's in heaven.
Happy Mother's Day. Mommy's Day to her.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes. Happy Grandma's Day too. It's Grandma Day too. If it's Mother's Day, it's Grandma's Day too.
I will say happy Mother's Day.
I mean, there is a Grandma, Parents Day, but.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day and Grandma's Day to my mom, Kathleen.
Happy Mommy's Day to my mommy, Penny, and my pygmy, Morgan, and my mommy-in-law, Olga, and my mommies in my orbit.
And happy Mother's Day to you, Tracy. Happy Mother's Day to you, Adrienne. I know you don't think you're a mother, but you know, you're taking on the responsibility, so you're as much a mother as anybody in this room.
Yep.
I still think it's cool. It made me cry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Except me. I'm a different sort of mother. Be nice.
We do stuff for you for Father's Day. I never forget you for Father's Day, and you know it.
Would you like to mention your mother's name before we go?
Evelyn Comito.
Okay.
Or Evelyn Menina. I don't think she would like to be connected to my father
probably
anymore.
Not. If that's the case, in the afterlife, she's probably saying, yep, I don't have to be with him anymore.
I, like I said, all the stuff I remember from childhood and all the stuff I remember being told after
she got a raw deal.
Yeah. So
I'm glad that didn't happen with my mom. But hey.
Anyway. Barry changed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always tried to do right by your mom.
Yes,
he still does.
Yes, he has.
And he still does.
So come Father's Day, we'll be probably telling Father's Day ghost stories.
Woo-hoo. That's not a bad idea.
I bet there's more of them. Maybe. Don't ask me why, but I have a feeling.
What'd you say, Tracy?
Is it quite possible?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. Anyway, as I said, that's it for tonight. I'm going to say this again. If you want to get a hold of us, if you got a story to share, if you just want to say hi, you can do it by emailing us at whatinthepodcast@gmail.com. You can go to our Facebook page, the What in the Podcast Facebook group. You can contact Tracy, Adriana, or myself on Facebook as well under our own names.
I'll try. Like I said, I've been trying to be a little bit better about checking my messages, but like I said, Facebook likes to hide things from me occasionally.
Yes.
Has anybody else experienced this? You know something's popped in from so-and-so, and you look for it, and it's just suddenly not in the messages, and you're like, okay, where is it?
Yep.
Good, I'm not the only one. Because I swear, it's been driving me absolutely crazy.
Now, also, you can also contact us through the message link at the bottom of the podcast description for whatever format you are listening on. And we will be more than happy to listen to what you have to say. And if it's something that you want us to share, maybe we can even put it on the podcast.
Or we can interview it, do a little snippet interview with you for future podcasts.
Yeah.
When we compile different stories together like we do. So that's not a bad thing, right?
Yeah, there's all sorts of things we
can do. I like that idea. There's a lot of people, like some of our friends, though, that do not like to hear their voices out loud and on stuff. So, you know, we might end up having to tell stories for other people.
So. Yeah. Now, I should also point out again that we have merch. For those of you who listen and want a piece of us.
Stickers!
We can give you a piece.
Stickers, t-shirts.
You want a piece of this?
I'll give you a piece. Anyway.
And we even have coasters, though they don't work really well as coasters.
If you go to this link, redbubble.com slash whatever you're looking for, you know, sticker, mug, t-shirt, whatever. What in the Podcast by Fox Feather. It'll pop up, or just go to Fox. Just go to Fox Feather for one. Just let me see here. I'll click the link real quick.
Sorry.
Go to redbubble.com/people/Fox Feather with capital F slash shop, and you'll see our shop. What the podcast is there, and you can find it if you like it. Order it. We have about 90-91 pieces of merchandise that you can choose from.
Is there something there that we don't have and you want it, talk to the man.
Okay. And all proceeds, of course, do go to the podcast so we can improve what we do for you. You can get a better podcast and a better listening experience. Also gives us the opportunity to travel and go to new and interesting haunted places and haunt them ourselves. So anyway, anything else before we go?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Adri's limping around, so I think it is time to say goodnight.
I'm here. Just throwing stuff away.
We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, folks, we'll cue the gremlin.
Cue the gremlin.
What you're going to do, say spooky first.
I blew that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
My fault. Let's try that again. Okay, everybody, we're going to stay spooky and
cue the gremlin.
Much.
Oh, I need a Ziploc bag.
What in the Podcast is a part of the What in the Podcast Network and is available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other great podcast formats. You can find us on Facebook at the What in the Podcast Facebook group. If you have a great story idea or have a personal paranormal event that you want to share with us, email us at whatinthepodcast@gmail.com with your story, or you can leave us a voice message by clicking the link in the episode description. If you like what you're hearing, please don't forget to leave us a review and rate us 5 stars. It doesn't seem like much, but it helps us more than you can imagine. What in the Podcast is also made possible thanks to our sponsors and listeners like you. Thanks for listening.